Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's Susan Baracco. Welcome to the Momentum Call, to your coaching call. Glad to have everybody here. And I see, I think Kelly is here. Or I'm not sure it's Kelly. Or there you are. Hey, how are you? Glad you're here. Please type in the chat, say hello, and so that I'm sure that my audio is working properly. And hey there, it's Kelly. And feel free to answer the just for fun question while we're waiting for other people to join us. And hey, Scott. How are you? Welcome. Glad you've joined us. And feel free also to say hi. Hello there in the chat, and feel free to answer our just for fun question and get us started. Kelly, really want to travel to Norway. I love it. Me too. We should make plans to go after the craziness is over. I often threaten that I'm going to move to Norway, even though I've never been. But it just, what a cool little country. I think I'd love to go too. So beautiful there. Really so beautiful. Love it. All right. We'll wait to give folks another moment or two to join us. Got a small group today. Hopefully everybody remembers to come. And it's summer, so in most parts of the world, so that probably adds a challenge for some folks. And Scott said had a vacation to Slovenia that was supposed to happen 4 weeks ago. We'll try again for next July. Great. Great. Yeah, we had a big bummer. I know. We had a trip planned in September to Sonoma, to wine country in California. And nope. We tried to wait it out as long as we could just to see if maybe things would calm down, but things are not. So we're pushing ours off. Maybe we'll go in the spring. We'll see. We'll see how things go. Yeah, I agree, Scott. Not the usual touristy kind of places. It is a beautiful country. I think I watch a couple of travel programs when I have a chance. And I think I've seen, there's one guy that travels around and he goes to those kinds of places that are not super touristy. He seeks out the places that are, you know, a little more remote and unique. So awesome. All right. A couple more folks have joined us. Cheryl, hey, welcome. Matt, glad you're here. Glad you're able to join us. We're just exchanging some fun travel adventures here while you guys are coming on, waiting for more people. Yeah, Melania Trump. Yes, she's Slovenian. Yeah, great country. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Cheryl says back to Nova Scotia with her granddaughter. Hey, Cheryl. Great. Another very beautiful part of the world. Nova Scotia is really special. Special part. Just north of me. I'm in Maine, so not too terribly far from me, actually. So great. Great, great. Well, I want to welcome everybody. I'm glad you're here. We have a somewhat small group, so we're going to have plenty of time to play and talk about whatever it is that you would like to discuss. And I am going to start by asking for wins. I'd love to hear what's been going well for you since the last time we met. It's been a couple of weeks. Things have, you know, we're really in the throes of summer here. We're looking at the last like 5 weeks, right? Starting Monday, like five more weeks to official summer, if you will, 5 or 6 weeks. So wondering how things have been going for you in the last couple of weeks. How are you doing in the program? Is there a win that you can share? And anything that some part of the program you completed, maybe something, and again, can be small, doesn't have to be major. Any other ahas, any other progress that you made? Would love to hear about it and celebrate with you. And Scott has one. He said, I finally got the courage to send some warm emails to prospects. No responses, but I guess I was expecting that. Absolutely. It's summer. And I do want to remind you that it's a good thing to think about is that even if you don't get a quote unquote out of office response, because sometimes you send out warm emails, especially to, you know, people in professional roles, they'll have if they're away on vacation or something like that, they'll have an out of office autoresponder. Even if you don't get one, that doesn't mean that they're not away. And even though people aren't technically in the office, lots of people are vacationing locally and doing what they can to vacation. So people are still taking time off, even though we're in this kind of a funky place in regards to COVID and travel and what have you. So I think don't be too put off if you're not getting a lot of responses. Things are crazy. It's a crazy time. And people are busy, so be patient with that. They could either be away or they could just be inundated. I've been hearing a lot about layoffs in different industries and things like that. And sometimes the people who remain are saddled with, you know, a lot more work. So just keep that in mind as you reach out, and you're reaching out to people. Kelly says her win was I finally finished session one. Yay! Plus I've had some early business development success, even though it's pretty out of order. I'm just rolling with it. Good for you, Kelly. And don't hesitate to ask questions. If there's something you're going through that you know is probably further on in the program, if you have questions, feel free to ask today and or in the Facebook group as you progress in your discussions. If there's support that you need that you're not sure about how to handle something, please reach out and let us know. Happy to, and maybe I'll bring you on and just have you tell us a little bit about what's going on. That would be great too. Be inspiring for everybody, I think. Matt has a win. He said he wrote the web copy for his site, decided it's good enough for now, and has started working on the website. Great. Congratulations, Matt. There's a couple of spots right in the beginning of this program that are some pretty heavy lifting. There's a lot to do in writing that copy and establishing your very first website. If you don't have one, you know, to rewrite or you've never done it before, it's a bit of work. So congratulations. That's a huge win. And definitely go with the good enough. You know, you're going to tweak it as you go, as you start talking to prospects and you start working with clients. Your website copy is going to change and change and change. You'll just keep tweaking it and fine tuning it as you start to really immerse yourself in your industry, because you're going to start to understand better what people are what's going to resonate with them as you start working with them. Scott says, yeah, procrastination. I'm familiar with that tune. Oh my goodness. We all share that, that challenge. We definitely do. Cheryl says, finally a win. Yay, a pro bono project for one of my favorite places here in Dubuque, an urban farmstead that has a restaurant where they serve their own eggs and produce in a rather depressed area of town. Anyway, as a fundraiser, they want to have an adopt-a-chicken project. What a cool thing. We have I have carte blanche with this. My first task is to write up profiles to give about 5 to 10 chickens' personalities. Oh, how much fun. Yeah, definitely. Cluck, pick a chick. That is so fun. Oh, that's great. Keep us posted as you go through. We'd love to see some of your profiles. Share. I mean, that's just so much fun. What a great way to get people's attention and have some fun. I have seen that. I think I've seen zoos, like large metropolitan zoos, and where you do something similar where you can adopt an animal, kind of a thing, and they do the same kind of thing. But for fundraising as well. So that's very cool. That is going to, that you can really have a lot of fun with, especially if you pick out like current personalities, like have one that's like somebody, you know, somebody like, I don't know, emulating like a Taylor Swift or, you know, entertainers or, you know, somebody like that, that's, you know, that you could really have a lot of fun with. I think that would be a ball, or, you know, and even local, although I don't know how much you could get away with there, but, I think it would be really fun to do like a local politician or something like that. It'd be pretty crazy. You have to be careful with that probably, but that just sounds like so much fun. That's awesome. Pick a chick. I like the pick a chick. There you go. Yeah, definitely. This is going to be fun for you in terms of just being able to be so creative. You know, what's interesting in the writing that we do when we're writing for businesses, it's kind of funny because we're serious, right? We have to write more serious stuff. We have to write blog articles and we have to write white papers and we have to write this stuff, you know, all these, and we can't just have fun. And this just sounds so much fun. what a fun way to start off your writing journey is to be writing this kind of fun stuff. So what a good idea for chicken personalities. Actually, we're good friends with the mayor and he's a good egg. That's perfect. Oh, it'd be funny to find if they have a rooster to name after him. Oh my goodness. Lots of fun. Lots of wins this week. Another long-term project with my sister, a couple of long conversations with former coworkers who are good connectors. Wow, Cheryl, you are burning it up this week. That's great. Good for you. And boy, is that inspiring? Does it give you like confidence and it gets you excited? It gives you momentum. And none of this is going to be, none of it is definite, you know, paying or anything like that. This is all just stuff that makes you feel like, ooh, it makes you feel like a real professional when you start actually working, even though you're not getting paid, but just to be working on a project that, you know, and that you're really behind too, that you feel really good about. It's a great way to get started. Just like, it gives you so much confidence as you get started writing and exploring different things. So good for you. Gosh, that's great. Super exciting. Hey, Chris, I see Chris just joined us and Laird came on while we were talking. And Nadine, welcome guys. Glad you're here. Right now we're just sharing some wins. And there's some fun ones. So that's really cool. We're having some fun brainstorming with Cheryl for a pro bono project she picked up. So that's really cool. Feel free to jump right in if you've got a win to share. If there's something that you want to celebrate with us, we'd love to hear about it. Anything big or small, feel free to type a W in and let us know what's going well for you. Sometimes I find too, getting back to the procrastination, I think that was Scott made a comment about procrastination. I find sometimes summer really, regardless of the, like every summer I get to a point where I just feel like it is painful to get myself to do things. Sometimes summer can be a bit of a challenge for me in terms of procrastination. Easy to want to just let the days drift by without really being super productive, and that's dangerous, you know, when I get into that habit. Hey, Darren, glad you joined us. I think, Darren, you're fairly new to the program, so welcome. Glad you're here. We're just sharing wins, kind of going around the room, so to speak, and sharing some wins and getting things started. Chris Dole, thanks for popping in there. He said he was approached by a marketing manager on LinkedIn, asked to review her company's website. She received it positively. She's an AWAI student, so she knows my training. That's a huge win to have someone reach out to you on LinkedIn. I think I remember you posting that on Facebook too. So that's awesome. Congratulations. And good luck with that conversation and that whole process. Great, great, great. Again, another thing, when it happens early in the process, it really can be so motivating. It really gives you a lot of energy to keep moving forward. So good for you. Good for you. All right. Well, we still have a reasonably small group. I'm going to jump into the question and answer session portion of the call. And I want to encourage you to keep your question focused. And please, one question per person at a time. We do have a small enough group where we'll be able to go around a couple times if we need to. And let me know if you don't want me to unmute you. If I have a chance, I like to have you come on and just give some additional background. Usually I have questions, depending on your question, what it is that you're seeking help with and support. And I want to encourage you to not be shy, even if you're fairly new in the B2B launcher program. Definitely don't be shy in regards to questions. Many times what I find is that someone asks a question and then the chat lights up with, ooh, I was thinking the same thing. And lots of people are you know, going, you're all going through the same process right now and having the same thoughts, questions, doubts, perhaps. So if you're stuck on a particular area, if you're, you know, questioning or don't fully understand some part of the program, now's the time to ask. So please don't be shy. Right. Chris is jumping right in there. Thanks for that. I do have one question that was pre-submitted. I'm gonna answer that for Bruce, who wasn't able to join us today. But Chris asks, do you have a suggested process to search for software companies, as an example, on LinkedIn? Finding companies is a first step towards researching them before reaching out is my current barrier. So absolutely, Chris. LinkedIn is a really powerful search engine, just like any search engine, you know, even like Google and the like. So very powerful. And so I would go in, and one of the things you can do in LinkedIn is search using Boolean, a Boolean string. And just like you would use it on Google or Bing or any of the other Yahoo, any search engine that you use, and by Boolean string, if you're not familiar with it, Google it or look it up and see. It's a really cool way to search on LinkedIn to fine tune your results. And LinkedIn has some great filters. If you haven't tried the search filters, adding additional filters, that's one thing to do. So you start on a search and then you do advanced. You click on advanced and it should show up somewhere in the window when you get those. But you can actually search just for companies. So when you look across the top, you'll see kind of tabs across the top where network, people, companies, groups, etc., right across the top. So if you click on companies and you do a search and then search from there, it'll also have additional filters like parts. You can put in geographic. So maybe you just want the US, maybe you just want a particular country or a particular state. Maybe you just want to start in the Northeast or some other part of the country, something like that. You can also put in a lot of other filters to help you kind of fine tune that. And then the Boolean search is basically using factors like and, putting things in quotes so that they're together, or putting strings, building a Boolean search string that, you know, is, you know, software company and Boston, Massachusetts, and, you know, something like that, so that it strings all of those things together and it looks for that. And you can even do that on a search engine, not just LinkedIn. Oftentimes, if you Google and the other search engines, LinkedIn results will come up in those results anyway. So, and then you can go from there. So that's just some thoughts, some different ideas about ways to search for companies. The other way is to reverse engineer it, so to speak. And so you go in looking for people, and look for titles of people that you know work for software companies. So maybe there's a particular title that you know is unique to the software industry that, you know, you wouldn't, not just manager, right? Because manager could be any industry, but maybe it's something more specific. Maybe it's a type of engineer or a type of a technical role that is unique to that, and search for people that have that title, with those words in their title, and then see what companies they work for. Or what companies, the other thing is, if you look at their profile, you can see what companies, maybe not so much that they work for right now, but even where have they worked in the past. You know, if you scroll down through their experience, you can see, I didn't know that company existed. You know, you start looking at the people that come up and you can see where they worked and or where they currently work. And then you can also start reaching out. The other thing, one more tip for you, Chris, is to look for groups. So if you have a particular, gosh, they're probably, I'm going to say, and this is probably low, but I think that there are over 3 million groups on LinkedIn, probably more than that by now, but that would be a wild guess. That's fairly close. And it's for any speciality that you can possibly imagine. So there are groups for every industry, every kind of, like if you just wanted to look up a group for digital marketing, I'm in a digital marketing group, or at least I used to be, that had like over 1 million people in it, something crazy like that. That's a good way to research and find people and companies, is to see what kinds of groups are out there, how many people, see if you can join, ask to join, and then, you know, scan the members, see who's in there and see what they do for a living and where they work. So just a couple of different options on LinkedIn. So I hope that, and I agree, Chris, I just saw your note here about the LinkedIn groups aren't that active. Has this changed? As far as I know, so LinkedIn started making changes to the way that groups are run and changed their functionality a little bit. And I think since then it kind of put a wet blanket on the whole group thing on LinkedIn. So still worth taking a look around to see what you find. I think there's just some interesting things there. I'm still part of groups on LinkedIn. I'm not terribly active, I can be honest. But if you find some groups that are focused on your target market, it would be worth joining if they allow you to, is asked to join and see what kinds of news gets piped into your newsfeed from that group. See what people are posting, see how often, that kind of thing, just to see if it's an active group or not. I don't spend a lot of time myself with groups, so I'm not sure, but I think they have kind of lost their luster a little bit. All right, let me just go back, make sure I didn't miss anything. Kelly, you're next. Kelly says, I just finished with session one, but I'm already getting some interest, which I don't quite feel ready for. It's a little embarrassing to not have a website ready or samples to share with people who are asking, what's the best way to handle that? That is really exciting. And Kelly, I'm just going to bring you on because I want to just get a little bit of background from you, hoping you can talk. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like this is a good problem to have, obviously, but I do feel a little kind of caught flat-footed. Just this morning, I had somebody who, you know, was asking me to send her some samples and to talk about my rates. And I'm just sort of like, I'm not ready for this. But I also feel like, to Ed's point, when he responded to a question I posted the other day to Facebook, which is, you know, at this point, you know, kind of just say yes to what comes along so that I can start right, learning what I like, which I think is a great plan. But I feel so embarrassed that I don't have this stuff quite ready yet. So I'm like, do I just jam on it all weekend and follow up with everybody on Monday? Or like, how do I handle it when I'm clearly doing things a little out of order here. And yeah. I found myself on a business development call yesterday and I don't really know if I handled it perfectly. I did my best. In retrospect, I feel like I probably should have talked more about their needs and less about my skill, but it just sort of turned into more of a development call than I was expecting.
Sure.
I just got caught a little unprepared.
That's okay. Hey, congratulations. You know,
thank you.
Work comes from all different directions at any time. And so there's no right or wrong here, first of all. I mean, just because this course is laid out very intentionally in terms of, okay, step one, step two, step three, that's for your benefit, so that as you're learning, it's chronological and makes sense, so to speak. So you're kind of building. So now that you've got this set, you then can move on to the next step once you get that done, and so on. But that doesn't mean that you can't entertain potential clients, have conversations like you did. I mean, I think that's really exciting. Very exciting.
It is.
So the one thing I will tell you in regards to what Ed terms as discovery calls. So what you had yesterday was a discovery call, and he terms it that way because he wants you to go into it with the mindset of discovering what you can about this potential prospect, about this potential client, to find out if you're the right fit for them and if they're the right fit for you, right? So it should be that mindset. And so the best thing to do is go in and ask lots of questions. And you want to be prepared to answer their questions as well, obviously, and talk about yourself. It doesn't sound to me like you've done anything wrong, by the way. There isn't necessarily a right or wrong, unless the only thing that we recommend you not do that wouldn't be so great is to try and close the deal right there. That's too hard, too fast kind of thing. This is truly a discovery call. Tell me about your business. Tell me what you're trying to accomplish. Help me understand what you think is missing right now in your communications. Where do you see me filling a need for you? How do you think, have you worked with a writer before? Just questions that you can try and find out, what are their expectations? And, and what kind of a budget are you working with? Is this something that if you've worked with a writer before, do you have a set budget for what you want? That kind of thing. So those are just questions that he lists all of those questions and gives you a script but I think it's like session 6. So you're a little bit off.
I know.
But that's okay. That's, like I said, nothing, no wrong way to do this. You take the opportunity when you can. So the thing I would recommend for you is to be as honest as possible. You are a professional, and it sounds to me like you presented yourself as a professional. Just because you don't have your website ready doesn't mean you're any less of a writer or mm-hmm. any less capable of meeting their needs. I'm just revamping my website, or you could even say something, like I'm launching a brand new website and I'm still in the middle of it, so I don't have anywhere to direct you, but I'm happy to send you an overview of my background or something like that.
Okay.
And that you could put together fairly quickly. You might want to think about your about page and maybe your why me page and work on the content for those two, so that you have something to send them if they request. But then you're doing double duty because you're writing the content for your website anyway, which is the next step for you.
Yeah.
So, but don't feel like you can't talk to people. My goodness, no. You're still a very capable writer and capable of delivering what they need, whether you have a website or not. So
okay.
That's kind of the bottom line. So question for you, is this in the industry that you want to pursue?
Yeah, it is. I think how the whole thing started was, so just for purposes of quick background, I was furloughed and then laid off during COVID. Mm-hmm. Which I was anticipating. And so I had already been planning on going out on my own and doing my own thing, but it just sort of accelerated my timeline. And so when I was still working, I had a consultant that worked for me doing overflow work.
Okay.
And so I talked to him when I got laid off and said, he lost my business because I got laid off, but I told him that if he ever found himself with more business that he could handle, to think of me. And ironically, right after that happened, like literally days later, he landed a really big new account. And so he's already been having me do some overflow work for him that's right kind of in the same industry.
Great.
And we know someone in common who they just did some layoffs, and their business model going forward is to work more with freelancers and less with full-time permanent talent.
Sure.
And so I followed up with that person, just not really even knowing what was going to happen. And then it sort of ended up being this discovery call that I didn't even anticipate. So I think for me, a little bit of it has been, I've had these little moments of bravery, like little, but then something sort of happened that's like made me have a little bit more confidence.
Great.
And then I had the same thing happen last night. Somebody noticed on LinkedIn that I had changed my status, and they just reached out to offer their support. And so I kind of told them just super casually what I was planning to do with this copywriting. And they told me about an opportunity that they had. And I just wasn't expecting that, you know? So it's been, like I said, these little just moments of being brave and kind of putting it out there, which is really hard for me. But each time I've done it, I've been met with people who are so helpful and so encouraging that it's really helped my confidence a lot.
That's awesome. Great, great stories. Thank you for sharing that. And because that'll be helpful for everyone who's listening, whether they're here live or listening to the recording. It's because you're not experiencing anything unusual. This is exactly the way you should feel. Most people do come through this feeling like hesitant and, ooh, gosh, I'm not sure. And, you know, unsure of themselves. And it's amazing when you start reaching out, people do want to help. And I think that's the thing we tend to forget. We tell ourselves that we're bothering them when actually we're not. We're actually we could potentially be helping them. And we need to remember that. So thank you for sharing that, Kelly. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for your support and looking at my positioning statement. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime. And good luck with, you know, and don't hesitate to jump in to the Facebook group and keep us posted. Like I said, if you need more support, you know, in between and things start to kind of escalate and you want some more insight, don't hesitate. Ed and I will definitely give you what you need so you can keep moving with this and turn it into something. That's really exciting.
Well, it's pretty fun. This consultant that I'm working with, I've done so far for him, I've done like a byline article and a social media calendar. And now he just gave me another byline article. And then he just called me earlier today and asked if I would be available to do like a big competitive audit for him next week while he's on vacation, because he just landed a new account. And so it's like, it's just funny. Like I didn't expect any of this.
No, but that's great.
And so I think, again, just for the team on the call, like I just encourage people to like be brave and ask, because it's like so weird that this happened for me so quickly. I wasn't expecting it. And I just think, you know, it's just that good reminder to just be brave.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've picked a pretty good industry to focus on, because there's a need. If they're picking at you already and have interest already, and you're just getting yourself off the ground here, there's a need. So yeah, good for you. Yay.
Thank you.
Yay. Congratulations. Yeah. Keep us posted one way or another, and don't hesitate.
Thanks.
To reach out. All right. That's great. Great, great. Yeah, it's so true. When we sit at home in our little offices and we sit behind our computers and we feel like we're bothering everyone when we reach out. And that's so not true. Oh my goodness. But you have to actually take that step and send those emails or make those inquiries or you know, take that brave step if it feels uncomfortable to you. Because the answer will always be no if you don't ask. So that's really great, great stories. And thanks for sharing. All right. I'm going to move on to Scott. He's up next with a question. He said, finally sent out some warm emails. And now what about follow-up? No response yet. And my sales experience says definitely follow-up probably several times. What strategy beyond the basic warm email? Create a sample project just for them. Education niche is what you're working on. So Scott, I'm not sure what session you are in the program. I think I don't know. If you have not gotten to session 8 towards the end, of this program, that's where all the information is that you're asking for. So there is a full prospecting and follow-up sequence that Ed provides. And if you haven't landed a client, follow up with non-responders, nurturing them. We call them not yet readies, people that, you know, maybe said, yeah, I just don't have a need right now, or maybe they haven't responded. So Ed actually breaks it down based on what type of interaction that you had with that person and then how to follow up. And it's very specific, including the timing. So how often do you reach out? What kinds of things do you send them in that follow-up sequence? He's got that all laid out for you in session 8. And it's all about, because he's all about systematizing your process. So when it comes to prospecting, you want to systematize so that you're not making yourself crazy going in 16 different directions trying to follow up with people, keeping it simple, streamlined, and consistent so that you can build a really good process for yourself. So that is session 8. And I'm sorry that there's a lot to talk about here, Scott, and that's why I don't want to get too into it. But that's around the corner for you, I believe, depending on what session you're in right now. Now in session 6, pick up the pace. You're not that far. Session 7 is all about quoting and selling, and that's, you know, the fee, he's got fee agreement samples and things of that nature. And then session 8 is all about, okay, how do I build this machine to keep my, you know, to keep my pipeline fed? And so that sounds like what you're talking about. In the meantime, if you want to follow up, you're certainly welcome to, depending on the type of lead, the warm lead, if it was someone that perhaps maybe just might've missed your initial email, if you really feel that, you know, they have a need that you want to get, you want to make sure that you get in on in some way, then I absolutely encourage you to follow up with them. But just know that ahead of you in session 8 is lots of great information on how to do that per Ed's recommendation. All right, Darren. You're up next. I suppose many students have asked this in the past, and that's okay. What do I do if I'm speaking with a potential client and they ask me to do types of copy that I may not feel confident in doing, like webinar scripts? So I may feel confident in doing landing pages or case studies, but not a wide range of copy. Excuse me. So this is a great question, Darren, and I really appreciate you asking, because I think it's a question that many people come into this program with that same question. And I haven't been asked that question in a while, so thanks for asking. Oftentimes we get into writing almost by accident. We kind of stumble into things. So we find a pro bono project that has us writing chicken profiles, which we've never done before. When was the last time you did a chicken profile? It's asking us to do things that we've probably never done before. And because you're new to writing, pretty much of what you're doing, unless you had some kind of a role in a corporate environment where you were writing these types of documents for a bigger company or something like that, you're not going to have experience. And I think that it's a matter of coming in and knowing I can make this work. And there have been many times when I've gone out on a limb and taken a project really with zero experience. And that's, unfortunately, that's what we end up doing. And that's why pro bono work can be really helpful in the beginning, because then it takes the pressure off of you in the sense of, oh my gosh, I'm going to be found out. Right? I've got imposter syndrome. I'm really not, you know, really never done this before, and I'm going to be found out. A pro bono situation allows you to take on a project and say, look, I'll be candid. This is the first time that I've written a webinar script, but I'd really like the opportunity to work with you and do this. I know I can. And here's why. Here's some thoughts that I have. So if you're excited about the opportunity and you're interested, like a webinar script, like you're talking about, think about, could you do it? Start thinking about that. Is it something that's interesting to you and is exciting to you? And then go out and do some research on your own. And there are, I mean, the internet is an amazing thing, right? Type in how to write a webinar script and learn about it. Teach yourself about it. I can't tell you how many different things I am self-taught on in regards to in the world of writing. Or, you know, we've taken courses. We've all taken mini courses, sometimes not so mini courses on different writing, different things. I transitioned about 3 years ago. I used to do copywriting, similar to what many of you are looking to get into. We're writing web copy and email campaigns and case studies, et cetera. I was doing that. I was doing a lot of blog writing, as a matter of fact, for clients, for many different clients, and thought leadership. And then I transitioned into book writing, which is a whole different ball game. And I had no experience, never written a book. And now I've been doing it for 3 years. And yeah, I took on projects in the beginning. I had no idea. I just dove in, but I was honest about that. And I would either give a really deep discount or do it pro bono and to get the experience. And so sometimes that's what you do. That is just where you have to go. And I was honest with my first ghostwriting client. We talked extensively about, you know, my having limited experience, and but I'm a really good writer, and I knew I was a good writer, and I had all this long form experience. I'd just never actually written a book, and she trusted me and dove in, and we wrote a really awesome manuscript with her. I wrote it under her direction, my client. So it came out great. It was just so much fun and such a great experience. So was I scared to pieces? You bet. It was a big project to say, hey, I can do that. Yes. And sound convincing to both myself and to her. But I knew that I could write, and I knew that I was teachable in the sense that I then started consuming everything I could about how to do that. So then I wanted to teach myself. I wanted to find out what courses should I take and where should I go to get more information about the right way to do this, the best way. And there's just so much information out there. So, you know, it might feel a little bit chicken before the egg kind of deal of, you know, geez, I don't really have the experience, but there's no other way to get it. So I want to encourage you to keep an open mind about these things. You know, do a small project like this, a web script. Imagine what you'll learn creating a webinar script, because then you're going to start working. Don't forget that your client is going to give you the information and tell you what they want. And you may even do some research to find out how to create a killer webinar. You know, what's the normal format? What's the best format for the audience and that kind of thing. There's lots of information out there that you can learn and pretty quickly teach yourself so that you have the knowledge that you need to do a really good job. So I think wide range of copy is something that you acquire over time. A lot of times you find a client, and this happens often with perhaps you find a client, they hire you for something you're comfortable with. Maybe they hire you to write some blog articles for them and they really like your work. And the next thing they know that they're asking you to do a case study. Never done one before. You're not going to say no to this really good client who likes you and pays you. You'll dive in and do it. So, and that's honestly how our experience grows. It's just a natural organic kind of growth where we start writing, copy of some sort that, and then the next thing you know, we're delving into things that we never thought were possible and that we never saw ourselves doing. And that certainly has been my experience over the last 7 years. So I've written copy that I can't even believe. You know, I've written all different types of things, and some I really enjoyed and some I really didn't. And that's the other thing, is that as you get into this, and the more demand, you know, the more requests you get for diverse types of copy, the more you learn, like, you know what, I really don't like writing case studies. I don't think that's for me. Or gosh, you know, for me personally, I just didn't enjoy the whole sales landing page thing. Was just not for me. The email campaigns, it just wasn't for me. So, and that's something I had to do to find out. And as I got more into it, I realized it's just not where my strengths are. So be patient with that. And I would suggest that you dive in and try it. but be honest, you know, be candid and say, you know, this would be my first webinar script series, but I'd love to do that and work with you at a reduced rate so that we can both, you know, you get what you need and I get what I need. So. Oh, Kelly, hey, yes, Ed did send out an email about this. The subject line is something like triangulation. So absolutely, and that's a great thing. He did a just a little video about it, the need and what you have. And so the that particular article or that particular video that he did is about if they're asking for a sample of something specific and you don't have one, but you have other stuff and how to position that. And that's what that particular one is about, but it's similar. So if they're saying, you know, I want you to write a case study and you've never written a case study, but you've done plenty of blogs and other types of things, how to position yourself and bring that around so that that it's no longer an issue. But I find that, you know, there's a couple different ways to approach it anyway. And I agree, Kelly, that, that's a good video to watch. It's very short, it's brief, and he just goes over how to position that and talk about it gracefully so that you're not stumbling all over. Good, Darren, thank you for the feedback there. I'm glad that was helpful. Just some things to think about. Let me see. So I have a question for Bruce Harris, and Bruce unfortunately was not able to join us today. He's in a very different time zone, so it makes it really challenging for him, but he had a two-part question, and I'm gonna read his question and answer his questions here now. So he was looking for insight into dealing with, his target market is medical, scientific, and engineering vendors and buyers. So his first question, and they're related, honestly, the two questions. So the tech product web copy commonly presents as an image plus a wall of text plus 15 to 20 bulleted features lists. The result is a hard to read message above the fold because there's just so much text. I agree. Is this an attempt to avoid scrolling or poor design? So the answer, very, very brief, is probably poor design. Oftentimes, especially in the in a more technical environment, if a more technical person is writing the copy, the web copy, it's going to come out that way. It's going to come out chunky and hard to read and technical. In the tech industry, you see that all the time. So the medical field, the science field, engineering, very much so. If you've got someone who's a brilliant scientist trying to write a marketing piece, that can be a challenge for them because they're just, their brains aren't wired that way. They don't think that way. And perhaps also haven't been trained in that particular skill of marketing. So his second question is something he feels will apply to everyone. How do you tell a potential client that the web copy would work better if rewritten, effectively telling him that his copy as written really stinks? an extension of this, the whole website really sucks. They abound, and that's true. So yes, I would turn it around, Bruce. As Ed likes to say, you don't want to call their baby ugly because you don't know who you're talking to and who actually did the website. If you're reaching out to a manager level, perhaps, or something like that, and he or she is the person that did the web copy, and yeah, you want to be really careful about that. So just keep that in mind. Don't call anybody's baby ugly. But what you want to do is turn it around in terms of, you have some incredible products that you offer, and I have some ideas for how to make I'd be interested to know if your website is converting for you as is. If not, I have got some interesting ideas about how we could turn up the volume a little bit for you on the product pages that you have. I see some things that I've seen other companies doing very successfully that I think might work for you. So you're not making any comments about their website. Sometimes what happens is you'll get in contact with someone and they might get back to you, get them on a phone call, and they say, oh my gosh, it has been years since we updated our website, and it really stinks and we hate it, but it hasn't been a priority, so on and so forth. So you might step into something, and Bruce, you're probably going to step into a bit of this if you're seeing a lot of it. But it's just positioning, being really careful about how you talk about it, because you just never know. So, hey, you've got some great products, and I have some ideas for you about ways that we can, again, turn up the volume a bit on converting people that come to your website. There's some other ways that we could present your products that might be more effective. I've seen it work well for other companies in the same industry, and I'd love to share my ideas with you. So that is how I would, something along those lines, something that simple. Keep it simple and just say, hey, I think, you know, your website, you know, compliment the products, compliment what they're offering. Maybe the services or the products. Say, wow, you've got some really dynamic stuff going on here. I've seen it work, you know, there may be some ways that we can make it work better. You know, we're not making it as much as you'd love to be candid and say, oh my gosh, I would bet you're not converting anybody, any of your visitors. You don't want to come right out and say that, but just, you know, have you tried some different things? I have some ideas that might make your website more productive and more valuable to your company and you know, to generate leads for your company. So that's how I would approach it. And Bruce, I hope that helps. Feel free to jump into the Facebook group and add additional comments or questions if you have any, if I didn't fully address your question. And I hope that was helpful. All right. And yeah, you'll see a lot of that. Depending on the industry that you're going to be calling on, that you're focusing on, you may see a lot of poorly written websites. Or websites that are so text heavy. That's the part that I see a lot that I just think is sad because, and I say this in all of my website reviews, if you haven't submitted your website for review yet, you'll hear me say it in my website reviews, is that adults today, I think we're like somewhere in that 8-second attention span. And if you've got big chunks and blocks of text, people are gonna just glaze over and blow right past it. So you could have some of the best written content on the planet, but if it's in big chunks of text and content, people aren't going to slow down to read it. They don't have time. So, and they don't have the interest. You've got to really wow them somewhere ahead of time in order for them to dig in, slow down enough to actually read what you've written. So that's just something to keep in mind, especially on your landing page as you guys are developing websites, your own websites. Keep your landing page sweet, short, and to the point. And you'll be much better off that way. All right. Great question. And we've had some really great questions today so far. I want to ask, I'm going to jump to the next, and we still have plenty of time for questions. If you have any, you can take a couple more. But I want to just ask you folks another question. And what has been your top takeaway so far today? We've talked about a lot of different things. We touched on LinkedIn. We talked about warm email prospecting and following up. We've talked about websites. We've talked about all kinds of stuff. So I think there's a lot here. Is there anything that as you were listening and hearing even some of the input from your fellow travelers here, is there anything that really stood out for you that was kind of an aha? I'd love to hear if there's something that was helpful. Scott says, amazing how kids in school are never taught to write in small chunks, instead come out with giant paragraphs. Very true. But I think, you know, Scott, in defense of that, they're taught to write reports. You know, that's what school is for. It's almost like case studies, right? Or white papers. They're taught to write white papers. That's what they're being taught to write, is these big, long things. And the internet is not a place for big, long things. on a website. You know, your website should be quick, like I said, an easy read, easy skim, scan, just get to the point, tell me what I need to know, or I'm moving on. And it has evolved to be sentence fragments, even if you check out, you know, pay attention the next time you go to skimming around to, you know, different websites, you'll see sentence fragments, and you want to think in sentence fragments in terms of, you know, it's the kind of, your English teacher would give you an F for the kind of writing that we do for the internet these days. But they're not complete sentences. People don't read in complete sentences anymore. Certainly not on websites. It's just usually just quick snippets, little 3, 4, 5 words strung together to be powerful. Maybe as much as 8 words, something like that. But it's really changed so much in terms of the way we write. All right. Kelly says her top takeaway, keep marching confidently forward. Absolutely. You got this. You absolutely got this. I always tell folks in this program that no matter where you are in this program, whether you're just in session one, whether you're in the middle, towards the end, whether you have no connections yet or no people to talk to, no prospects on the horizon, I always tell people to remember that you are a better writer than 90% of the population. And I don't care how much experience you have. Seriously, if you have the interest in writing and you're here in this program, you know you want to be a writer and you've done writing before, I can guarantee you you're a better writer than most of the people on the planet. It's amazing how bad people at writing, and that's a good thing because that means that there's plenty for us to do. So give yourself credit for what you already know how to do and what you bring to the table. Matt says, keep taking steps to move forward, even if I don't feel fully ready. Absolutely. You're never going to feel ready ever. I still don't. Oh my gosh. Even now if I pick up a project, some kind of a writing project that I've never done before, I still feel, you know, there's that nervousness, that bit of anxiety, sometimes a little knot in the stomach kind of thing, like, oh boy. And I've been doing this a long time, you know, 7 years is a long time to be writing for people and being paid to write. And I have changed over the years, the types of things that I write, but I still have that. Ooh, sometimes it can be really intimidating, but you're not alone. Just know that you're not alone in that. Scott says, more good LinkedIn advice. Great. Glad that was helpful. Chris says what he took from this was keep moving forward through the materials. There's so much good stuff in this program. I love being associated with Ed. It's an honor for me to work side by side with him and partner with him to help support you as you go through this program. This is a super comprehensive program that teaches you all the elements you need to have a viable business at the end. And if you have the ability to go through it and get through it, like in the 9 weeks is what it's targeted for, and life happens. So believe me, people don't always get through it in 9 weeks, but some people do. And you're gonna come out the other side with really knowing how to talk to prospects, how to find them, how to talk to them, how to close that deal, how to land a good client. The right way to interact with them, contracting with them, and you're going to have all the elements that you need to move through this and build a really great business. So I'm glad that you're here because you're going to get a lot out of it. Yeah, Scott says, my wife is an English teacher, not exactly taught to write in school, just write. Absolutely. Nadine said a takeaway for her was to get started. I'm brand new to this group, so it's great to hear these tips. Well, welcome. And I'm so glad that that's been helpful so far. Scott says he agrees, write the way people read and speak. Darren says a takeaway for him, don't be afraid to take a price reduced first engagement and study hard in order to get a reference for a new type of copy service. Absolutely. Actually, Ed talks about that. Let me see. I think he talks about that possibly in session six. I don't even know. I'm just looking through my notes here because he talks about pro bono work. It might even be in session four. I think it's in session four now that I'm looking at it. So if you haven't gotten to session four, he talks a bit about pro bono work. I can tell you that the pro bono work that I have done, I have looked at it as an investment in my education. I don't look at it as a gig I'm not getting paid for. Absolutely not. It's enriching me far beyond any money that I could ever make off of it. You know, so I get $200. That's not that important to me. What's important is that I gain my first client. I build an outstanding relationship with that client and I get a sample to share with future clients, with future prospects. And I get the experience. There's so much learning that goes on when you work with one client, and that is, and it doesn't matter that it's pro bono. And the thing of it is, no one has to know that it was pro bono. You know, as you share that sample or you talk about that experience with other prospects and other potential clients, they don't have to know that you didn't get paid for it. It doesn't, that's not the point. The point is that you have now have that experience. So what Ed and I both recommend is pro bono is a great place to start, but not a great place to stay. So take on one or two projects and see where it takes you. Sometimes they can even lead to paying work. If it's something where a client wants to try you out to see if you're a fit. And then, hey, if this works out, then we'll talk about a fee structure. So I've done that before too. Think about pro bono and saying, look, I don't have a lot of experience writing a white paper, but here's what I'll do. Let's do this first one. You know, I'll do a smaller one for you or a case study. Maybe I'll do two case studies for you pro bono. If you're happy with my work, then at that point, we'll talk about a fee structure moving forward. So it's never a place to park. It's a place to pull over and get that experience and get that that education, that writing education, and that very well-rounded experience of working with a real client, getting the samples and so forth, hopefully getting a testimonial and learning how to work with a client. Then you move on from there and say, okay, from this point forward, now, you know, if there's more work you want me to do, then we'll talk about a fee structure for the work that you need. And the other way that you can position that too is that it allows me to get to know you. As a writer, I like to work with the best clients. And so it allows me to get to know your needs and to make sure that we're the right fit for each other. So love that. Thanks, Scott. Scott said he had to scoot out, so good for you. All right. So I'm going to wrap up with my last question for all of you is, what is your top action item for the week or so ahead? And it does not have to be anything we talked about today. It could be anything at all. If you've got something on your list that you want to really dive into and get done in the next week or so, that's what I want to hear about. Kelly says, time to build my website. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can go with just a couple of pages. So your homepage, by the way, it should be less than 200 words. So you can probably get that fine-tuned pretty quickly. And then move on to why me and about me, that kind of thing, services page. I think you'll get through it maybe more quickly than you might think. So good luck with that. Looking forward to seeing it. Matt says, get the website built and submit for review. Looking forward to that. Thanks for sharing. This is what's nice about the website and getting it done is that once it's done, then you can just forget about it. You can kind of cross it off your list and move forward. And that's what's really nice about the website part of this is, you know, then you update your LinkedIn profile to match the messaging that you created for your website so that if someone, you know, looks at you, no matter where they go first, they're going to see consistency across your brand of your website and your LinkedIn profile. And, or if you don't have a LinkedIn profile, write your web copy first and then use that as the basis to fill in your LinkedIn profile. If you have one, and you've transitioned recently from one job to now freelance writer, then you use it to update your content on your LinkedIn profile. So goes in that order. Cheryl's going to work on her chickens. I love it. Nurture a couple of relationships with folks I would love to land as clients. Great. I love the chicken story. Cheryl, I'm going to be looking for chicken profiles. I want to see a couple. I definitely would love for you to, if you come up with one that you're particularly proud of that you had a lot of fun with, share with us so we can all enjoy it along with you. So Nadine says, go through the introductory module and then session one. You are very new. That's right. You did just join. Well, good for you. And please, please use the Facebook group. Don't be shy. I want to remind everybody to be active on Facebook. It's such a great resource. And I'm there every day. Ed checks in pretty much every day. And it's just such a great resource to give you support, to get you unstuck in between these calls if you need that extra help. Don't be shy share your questions, share your thoughts, or your wins in the Facebook group. All right. Well, great call today. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for participating. I always encourage people to not be shy and to participate, because that's when we have good questions. It helps everyone, and it makes for a really more productive call for everybody. So thank you for being here. I want to wish you all a great rest of the week. Good luck, and I will see you all on Facebook. Please jump on and be active there as well so we can continue to support you. And have a great rest of your week. Take care, everybody.